think this is the Raging Robot Party Cast? That's Ryan. I'm Josh.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Not a lot. What is going on with you?
Got a pedicure yesterday, so my feet feel nice.
That's good. It was desperately cool, need one, but...
Yeah, I was feeling it yesterday and today. I'm like, I feel really good. This is nice. I feel all relaxed and stuff. And then I think, like you said earlier, my allergies started bothering me. So I was like, yeah, I can do anything today. I got so much energy. Oh, no.
No manicure yet?
Nah, I don't really do that because I've got like a bad habit of picking my nails. So I just ruin it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I have mine currently so unevenly clipped, it's just like, probably... Yeah. One of these days, really need to just pay a professional to do this. I would have less hangnails.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm a recent convert to the whole pedicure thing. My wife took me to do it one day, and I'm like, man, sure, I'll try it. And I have deathly ticklish feet, but you just kind of grab onto the armrest and power through for them new feet because, whoo, feels so nice when it's done. If you're a dude and you've never had that because you're all like macho or whatever, just do it. It's nice.
So I've been told. Now, are you going to ever step it up, go up to the bikini wax level or no?
I don't think I will.
No. I've had my eyebrows waxed. It wasn't that painful, I guess. The lady was saying that certain waxes are like extremely certain or not.
I've had that done a time or two. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I saw that Max Landis is like super canceled. Don't want to get like too into it, but yeah, gross, and you shouldn't be doing weird stuff like that, dude. So
no, you shouldn't. And I guess like the allegations that are against him are newer, and I guess this is more mainstream. When the My Time movement came up originally, I know allegations were thrown out against Mac Landis back then, and it was just
seems like it's been stirring for a while.
Yeah, like, these are way bigger allegations than I think anything that was ever thrown against him. Then, I guess the basic deal is, and I know I've never said anything positive about Max Landis. I don't believe you've ever said anything positive about Max Landis.
I used to like that wrestling video, but, I mean, now that I know he's a douchebag, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't ever have to watch that again.
I think I actually said I can't recommend that video anymore when we talked about wrestling. Like, I used to say it used to be good, but not anymore. But, yeah, I guess... The allegations against him in Hollywood, like, this was a known thing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then it leaked out to the main masses this, and now I guess we're just learning how bad it was.
I'm like, you mean to tell me the son of a famous movie director who accidentally killed a bunch of people on set is also a terrible nightmare person who does messed up things?
Well, actually, apparently his dad was like a major helicopter parent and just got him out of every single trouble he ever got in.
That checks out.
Yeah, so I guess that was like a big thing for it.
It was Father's Day over the weekend, and that was cool.
What did you end up getting?
I got a nice watch. It's cool. I like it a lot. Matches my ring. My daughter got me a Godzilla King of the Monsters set with Godzilla and Mothra in it, which really took me by surprise because she did that like all on her own. She was staying with her great-grandparents, and I guess they had taken her to the store to get me a gift for Father's Day, and she remembered me telling her about Mothra, because I didn't tell her anything about the existence of toys, and I guess she just knew it, recognized it, and thought I would like it, and she was right. It's a pretty cool set. We had fun playing with it.
That's good. Yeah, I'm probably going to go do stuff with my dad tomorrow, hopefully.
Cool. Yeah, I gave my dad a call.
I called him also, said Happy Father's Day. Yeah. He wants to go check out a video game retro store.
Oh, which one?
Propaganda Palace.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the downtownish one before. I think that's the only one.
He wants to go check it out because he's never been inside. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fun. Go record hunting and old video game hunting.
Yeah, it's where I held their $600 copy of Snatcher.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't imagine that I'm going to find any gems that they themselves don't know is valuable. But yeah. I can try and take in my version of I have an Atari game, Atlantis, which may or may not be Atlantis 2, which is worth money. But
oh, cool! It's worth checking out with them.
Yeah,
I saw today that the X-Files movie turned 21 years old, and I took damage upon reading that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Another interesting one that I was reading today that no one really cares about is, I guess today was the original set date for Justice League 2.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, and no one cares.
No one misses it.
Darn. I won't find out what direction they're going to take Ezra Miller in, because that is really, he was basically really the only thing I cared about. Like I said, that movie, I'm probably the closest thing that movie has to a Defender, and it's okay.
Yeah, I honestly watched it on TV once and couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't feel
like you watch it and look at it as like a decent television pilot, not a good one, but a decent one.
Yeah.
It gets better, but it
seemed like a lot of cart before horse action going on.
It was, and you can definitely feel where Josh Whedon was trying.
Yeah, probably did his best to throw in some quirky dialogue
and good things like that. And some people like that. I liked it. Other people hate it. The scene of like Aquaman lying down in the lasso of truth and spilling his guts because of it and things like that. But there are other things. What else? Oh, yeah. Marvel is just rearing to break Avatar's record. So yeah. They announced today that they are going to re-put...
like, want to do it again?
Infinity War in theaters with extra footage.
I hope that it's, I don't know. I felt like that movie was pretty complete, so I don't know what was missing.
I don't know. Like, they can do it now. A lot of people complain that this wasn't in the film, but there's also no way of putting it in the film without spoiling things, which is the conversation. It's clear at the very end that Bucky and Steve had a conversation before Steve went back and stayed back. He clearly told Bucky he was going to do that, which is why on the bench he tells Sam to go forward. And it's like...
yeah, that could be added in.
That could be added in. I don't know how you would have originally added that in without spoiling old Steve, but it's not like everyone didn't see that coming the moment they saw a guy on the bench. So,
yeah. Oh, man.
And so Marvel also, with a new comic,
forgive me, was very excited, and then they were not.
Yeah. They decided to start a countdown, but we didn't know it was a countdown, because the reason that we didn't know is they started at 4.
Yep, with the Sony-era Spider-Man trilogy font.
Yes. And so we all got excited that we're getting a Spider-Man 4, at least in comic book, we're going to finish Toby's story.
And everyone was like, yay.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess.
We all got super excited, and then it turns out that it's a countdown. And I looked, and they were at 2 today, I believe.
Oh, goody. Well, maybe it'll still be what everyone thought it would be, and they'll just adapt all of them.
That's what people are hoping and thinking, but... it's definitely weird to see, because, as you said, there's kind of a split with, I think, with the Raimi trilogy. Being that, for the kids in the 90s, that was their Batman originally. Like, that was the first superhero movie for a lot of them.
Yeah, it was their Batman 89, you mean?
Yeah.
That's coming up on its anniversary, too.
It is, but it's the first superhero film that a lot of those kids saw.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's still a lot of nostalgic feeling attached to that.
And I mean, it's okay for its time. It's kind of aged like watching Power Rangers now. But it's still like, it's okay.
Do you think that they should have gone with the original Green Goblin suit?
Yes, absolutely, I do.
Instead of the Power Ranger?
Yeah, I like Green Goblin as a villain. Like, he's a little jarring to look at. But once you know just how evil of a dude he is... it's like, you know what? This kind of works. So
it does.
I remember the screen test videos of that finally coming out, and it looked sick. So I'm like, that would have been cool.
It would have, but I just don't know. It's weird, because people are like, oh, you could have gotten so much more out of William Dafoe's face because he's such an expressive actor. But I'm like, under that plastic mask, not really.
Yeah. I guess you could always just paint him up a little bit and add some prosthetics to his upper and maybe nose and chin a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, the story goes that his little appearance in the mirror in Spider-Man 3 wasn't supposed to be in there. And that he just walked by one day while they were filming and stopped by and said hi. And they're like, hey, you want to do a stand-in cameo? And he was just like, sure.
I'm just imagining instead, like, it's just some footage that spontaneously got sliced in, potentially by Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Him and the gentleman, joke stealer, Dennis Leary, they look slightly alike.
A little bit.
And so when they cast Dennis Leary as Gwen's father in the Garfield two movies,
yeah,
he just kept waiting for him to like put the mask on and start acting like the Green Goblin also.
I just hate how they mismanage Green Goblin in those movies.
Well,
it's just like, your dad had this sick goblin disease. It's really cool, but he's dead now. By the way, you have it too, and you're going to be super evil in like 15 minutes. I should have told you about this sooner. Sorry, dude.
Now your girlfriend's dead. Like, I would have preferred Gwen to live through that. Because those films didn't set up with great power comes great responsibility. They ran away from that.
Pretty much.
And so I would have preferred for Peter saves Gwen, Peter's about to get on the plane, then Electro attacks, Peter realizes that he can't leave New York City, he can't be with Gwen, and then it plays out.
That was like one of the worst supervillain origins I've seen too in Electro on screen. I don't know if that's how he was originally made in the first place, but surely not.
I doubt it. Raimi really strived for accuracy. I don't really think anyone else did.
Yeah, and I mean, some changes for the better, but that one was not.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's how electric eels work.
Neither do I. But what if they're eradicated? They'll probably be dead then.
Yeah, they're just super full of radiation. You just lose all your hair extra and become blue for some reason.
So, yep.
Anything else on the fun things agenda?
Not that I can really think of this week.
I got stuck on that fight with Scorpion and Quan Chi, so I'm officially at the wall.
Are you?
In Mortal Kombat 9. Because I'm like, I don't know if I can beat this.
That fight you can beat, because that's not the wall. The ending's the wall.
Okay. I just have not figured out a good way to do it.
As someone pointed out, when you type in how to, like, at that point in time, it was like one of the top five Google searches was how to beat Shao Kahn.
Oh, man. Well, are you ready to get into today's subject?
I believe I am. Are you?
No. But actually, yes.
So, we're talking about today, we're doing the weapon to end all weapons versus Fifth Freedom today.
Yeah, we're doing Metal Gear versus Splinter Cell. I know practically nothing about Splinter Cell, but know a lot about Metal Gear.
And I know an okay amount of Metal Gear because I attempted to play the fifth game.
Yeah.
I attempted to play the fifth game. I studied for like a month worth of lore, but I had to tap out eventually.
I'm sure I was probably like, yeah, man, you can do it.
But Splinter Cell is my favorite franchise, and so I know a lot about it pertaining to the video games. I will say the only thing I've never really done are the books.
Yeah, because anything Tom Clancy has to have a book, even though he's super dead.
Yep. I forget who they're written by, but I think there's a trilogy of those. Children. Yeah.
Is there a Hawks book?
I don't know if there's a Hawks book.
I feel like there's a Hawks book.
There may be.
Anytime Tom Clancy comes up, I'm just going to talk about Hawks because it's what I know. That game was fun. Never played its sequel. In fact, all I've played of the Clancyverse is Hawks. One of the Ghost Recons, Future Soldier, maybe, for a minute.
Yeah.
And Splinter Cell Conviction.
Raymond Benson wrote the book, so yes, there's a Hawks book.
Nice. As well, there should be about planes doing things that planes can't do.
But yes.
Fueled by Google Maps. So we're going to basically compare and contrast, see how they're alike, how they're different. Do they cross over any? Do they not cross over any? And, you know, see what it's all about. So join us in this fantastic journey as we sneak around in the dark and hopefully don't alert people to our presence.
Yep.
So Metal Gear, you know what it is by now. It's the saga of a man who is actually a clone of another man who's a clone of several other people. Fighting against the Patriots and other people. It was originally on the MSX, which is a Japanese computer system. It even then was based around stealth gameplay. It's encouraged for you to sneak around. You've got limited supplies. It's fairly advanced for its time, especially when you get to Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake. There you can kind of see where what will become Metal Gear Solid is starting to come together. Like, all of a sudden you can crouch and crawl around and all that. You get even Gray Fox in Metal Gear Solid Snake, so that one was cool. It's really in Solid where everybody, I think, will come to know it, unless you happen to play the Nintendo Ultra Games Metal Gear, which is a Metal Gear game in name only. Metal Gear does not even appear in the game.
Now, was it 1 or 2 that has what is known as one of the most impossible puzzles?
Which one is it?
The owl puzzle.
I'm not actually familiar with the puzzle.
Guard will only open the gate at night.
Okay.
So you have to trick the guard into opening the gate. So you have to sneak through the base through a laser grid to get an egg. You have to take that egg back to where the guard is, crack that egg, and an owl will appear. The guard will see the owl and go, oh, it's nighttime now, and then he'll shut down the gate.
That's so complex that I'm led to believe it's in Metal Gear 2.
Yeah, it's in Metal Gear 2 or Metal Gear 1. I know it's one of the two, but if I remember correctly, that is often on the top 10, along with, like, the Babel Fish.
2 is definitely where it starts to get a lot more complex in its gameplay, so I would imagine it's got to be in there. But if we're wrong, let us know. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Or DM us something saying, hey, that wasn't right. It's really Metal Gear Solid back in 97 where I think people came to know and love the franchise. It's one of the few U.S. Dubs of a game that actually got exported back to Japan because the voice acting quality was so good. Made David Hayter famous as a voice actor. You know him as the voice of Snake and Naked Snake in Metal Gear Solid 3, a.k.a. Big Boss, until he wasn't.
And yeah.
Metal Gear Solid was probably right next to Castlevania Symphony of the Night, my favorite PlayStation 1 game, both made by Konami, and both games will actually, Metal Gear Solid will acknowledge that you've played Castlevania Symphony of the Night in the Psycho Mantis boss fight. He'll read into your soul or mind or whatever, be like, oh, you like Castlevania, don't you? And I think he would do the same for some soccer game made by Konami.
Yeah. You had to flip your controller upside down, meaning you had to switch it to player 2 and things like that.
Yeah, if you, I did not know it for actually quite a while, because my PlayStation 1, I did not ever have the DualShock controllers until I had a PS2. So I did not know that he would have you put your controller down, and then he would move it across the floor by vibrating it until I had a PS2 and played through it again on there.
Yeah.
And when he would read your movement, you actually had to switch controller ports, because apparently that was the other side of your brain, because this game takes a lot of liberties with science.
It does. So does a parrot, but...
So I know for sure that they're both very much alike, as they are both of the stealth genre. They have somewhat similar protagonists and plots with a lot of intrigue and betrayals and so on and so forth in them. It's really in Metal Gear Solid 2 where the insanity of the writing really starts to hit the wall, and it becomes super obvious, like, you know,
I don't know if I understand what's going on, and I don't know if I'm supposed to while you're playing it.
And Metal Gear Solid 2 was in development and up in Ubisoft. They were coming out with a new game. A game that was being developed called The Drift, which, this is going to sound really random, but was a sci-fi game set in the future that apparently was a really good game, but they were saying that it had no heart and soul. And so that it ended up getting split into a bunch of random different games.
Okay.
I think its setting got took to be Beyond Good and Evil, the sci-fi future steampunk thing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the development things the gentleman was talking about was a stealth section and the use of light in the game. And he also had a gun that had multiple features, including the ability to let you see in the dark.
Okay.
And so those were taken and turned into, when they were ordered, the wiki here is saying that they were ordered to make a Metal Gear Solid 2 killer. I doubt that, because that has a tendency to be more modern use language.
Yeah.
But they were ordered to
compete with it. But
they wanted to make a competitive game to Metal Gear Solid 2 coming out. And so the game that they ended up putting forward was Splinter Cell. Stealth action genre game. And it does actually help redefine the stealth action genre, which is what they set out to do. Splinter Cell, of course, Tom Clancy is the second Tom Clancy game not to have a novel first. Name is attached, Information Warfare, and they went out and got Michael Ironside, who you can hear grovel around in quite a few things nowadays.
I know a whole lot of years ago he was the voice of Ultra Magnus in the Transformers Prime animated series.
Yeah.
And he did good on that.
He was in that. He did a stint in Brazil, which actually gets brought up in one of the games for every random reference to throw in there for 15-year-olds to try and figure out who Harry Tuttle is when he says it. But, there are a few other voice actors in there being, forgive me, Michael Ironside being the biggest, being Sam Fisher, and Don Jordan being in there as Irving Lambert, who is another voice actor that, I don't know if he got as big as he did. I know his game has popped, his voice has definitely popped up in other Ubisoft franchises.
Okay. Trying to think of anything I would know him from, because I don't recognize the name.
Did you do Deus Ex?
Only Human Revolution.
Greg Thorpe and General Shepard?
General Shepard from Mass Effect?
Human Revolution.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If I were to play your voice, you'd probably recognize that he has a very... another very deep voice black man, unfortunately, that's very grovelly, but he does a very good job in the games. I think he's probably about the only other recognizable, well, not name, but recognizable voice throughout the original trilogy until later when something happens, but...
Was he a black actor portraying a white character? Because that is actually something the franchises would share.
He may have been, I can't remember, but I know in Splinter Cell he is a black man.
Okay. Because Gray Fox, a.k.a. the Cyborg Ninja in the Metal Gear Solid 1, is portrayed by, I want to say his name is Greg Eagles in the game, and he is African-American portraying a ghost white man who is now a cyborg. Let me see.
I guess he did a random episode of The Simpsons where he played Homer Simpson in Homer's Barbershop Quartet. Small little tangent. Did you see that, what was trending on Twitter randomly?
Mm-mm.
Your favorite one-use Simpson character?
Which one?
No, that was just what was trending.
Oh,
people
okay,
asking the question
okay.
of who was your favorite one-joke Simpson character.
I have so many. Which one was trending? yeah, that was indeed Greg Eagles. Favorite one-use Simpsons character? Can it be a guest star?
Probably.
Then I gotta give it to Mulder and Scully.
When they popped up in there. Anyways, yeah. He was another recognizable voice that continued throughout the franchise for... I think he actually made it 4 games, not 3. But...
Okay.
The Splinter Cell game come out, comparative to the Metal Gear franchise, Splinter Cell's big focus is on light-based gameplay.
Yeah.
So you always have to be in the shadows. Secondly, the guns don't really work in Splinter Cell, at least not in the first game. They're both there, you're both capable of taking shots and making killing people when need be. But truth be told, the hitboxes are not great, meaning that if it was intentional or not, or just ended up being this, the Splinter Cell franchise is primarily composed and work better of sneaking up behind the person and grabbing them.
Gotcha.
And then dragging them away into the shadows, and you can interrogate them there. And the interrogation things are, in the first game, first and second game, it's just information. In the third game, you start getting a little more fun stuff in there.
Yeah.
The third game, there's one where you can grab a guy who was in Guatemala, I believe, is where they say he was in the Guatemalan conflict as a child. And so you sneak up behind, and two soldiers talking. And as you listen, he tells the story of him being in Guatemala and that he doesn't like thunderstorms because they were in the conflict. And the American soldiers, when they came and took down the army, hid using thunderstorms and would fire in between the shots of thunder, because this is the first game that had a sound bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was trying to teach you how to fire shots in between shots of thunder.
Okay.
And it was a cool little thing. Now, it later... So if you sneak up and grab the guy and you drag him back to do an interrogation, you can interrogate him. And he'll actually just straight up go, "Oh, it's you. You finally came to finish me off, didn't you? Just like you took my father, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go see my family." And Sam's just like, "I don't know what you're talking about, man."
So
you give him the option of killing or not killing, because unlike Metal Gear, this is a game where you can kill and it doesn't matter nearly as much as...
Yeah. On the aspect of playing with light in the game, I remember something that was a weird turnoff for me, having not played it but just looked at it from the outside, was Sam has this like green beacon on him. Is that strictly for the player, or is there some canonical reason why he has this green light on him?
It's his backpack. In one of the games, it becomes strictly for the player, because that green beacon is turns into what tells you if you're standing in light or not. Yeah. That's not their best use of it. One of the things actually Tom Clancy originally was against is the trifocal goggles of Sam's.
Yeah.
And so the trifocal, because they have two types of vision. They have both night vision and thermal vision, which Tom Clancy was like, "That's stupid. That would cost too much money to make." And Ubisoft had to be like, "It will be a thing." And they are correct, because that is now probably the most well-known thing about him. Hmm. Now, yeah, like I said, that... The first three games have light meters to let you know if you're standing in light or not. The next three games, you have, like I said, that green thing on his back goes from green to yellow if you're standing in light.
Okay.
You have the game turned black and white when you're standing in the shadows. That was not very popular, though. And in the final game, you have, it's even more stupider, actually, because you glow brighter the darker you are.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, but that's the indication that you're standing in the shadow. In the last three games, so Splinter Cell's series is essentially broken up into three certain things. The original trilogy and the last three games, because the last three games are entirely different games than the original three. The light-based gameplay isn't nearly as prevalent. You can still play stealth, but you're encouraged to action it up a bit more to the fact that they even built almost pure action levels in the game.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. So primarily the only real difference is gameplay-wise, at the moment, looking in, is where Metal Gear Solid 2, as that was the point of comparison at this point in time, is still based on the Soliton radar system, where you can see enemies around you and see their cone of vision. So long as you don't bleed over into that, they won't see you. You are allowed to take cover in parts of the environment, like lockers, underneath tables, that sort of thing. Sound was also a factor. If you knock on a door or knock on a wall or anything, you can summon the guards over to you to where you can either neutralize them or stuff them in a locker, basically. The tranquilizer gun was also a big thing that they introduced that I think retroactively was put into the first game in the re-release, the Twin Snakes, which was, I guess, a remake for GameCube.
Okay.
Which makes that game a lot easier, apparently.
Yeah, when I got my PS3, I went and bought the Metal Gear Solid collection. So I played, I think, halfway through Metal Gear, well, a quarter of the way through Metal Gear Solid 2.
Did you get to the point where everything starts going bonkers?
No.
Oh, man.
I have since read where everything went bonkers when I was doing my studying to try and play the fifth game. But, yeah, the biggest, and that's one of the biggest things, as you're saying, it's focused on dodging the enemies, where Splinter Cell is focused on grabbing the enemies and taking the enemies out.
You're heavily rewarded for completing the game without killing anyone at all. I think that's the highest rank you can get. Obviously, you will have to kill some bosses, but otherwise, just guards and soldiers and that sort of thing. If you can sneak around them or knock them out without killing them, you can get a pretty high rank at the end.
Yeah, Splinter Cell can and has done that, in particular in the last game where there are three different playstyles.
Yeah.
Ghost, which is focused on stealth. So, again, grabbing guys, knocking them out. Panther, which is focused on moving stealthily and killing people, and just outright assault. And you can gold all three.
Okay.
I, of course, golded Ghost because I just prefer a non-lethal style of play. But it was the biggest thing is I'm so used to going up behind guards and grabbing them.
Yeah.
And in the tutorial, Snake just chokes out and knocks out guards. But the tutorial to Metal Gear Solid 2, because, again, that's the closest reference that we're talking about right now, it very famously had two different protagonists and hid that fact.
Yes. It was revealed much later on that you get to play as Raiden, who is introduced as a fresh-faced newcomer. And from a plot standpoint, I actually appreciate what they did with everything now, and it makes a lot of sense for you to experience the story of Solid Snake by seeing it through someone else's eyes. But yeah, it added a whole extra edge of discomfort to everything when things started to break down because you did not have that familiarity of a character and just felt kind of lost as to what was going on.
Yeah.
But you do get to fight alongside Solid Snake for most of the remainder of the game, which was actually really cool.
Yeah, when you switch to Raiden, Raiden's actually lethal when he goes up and grabs people. He just straight up snaps their neck at the very end versus Snake, who I think just choked him out. And so I ended up killing, I think, four or five different enemies before my friend finally pointed it out to me. He's like, you know you're killing people, right? I'm like, am I? I didn't know that.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. I'm so used to Splinter Cell, you're given the option. It doesn't matter either way. Yeah. It's just,
you know, in Metal Gear Solid 2, towards the climax of the game, you get the HF blade, which is a high-frequency katana. So it kind of telegraphs what's coming in his future.
Yeah, it does.
let's see. So what is the tech difference? Like, are they more or less the same in what both series have? Because Metal Gear largely has a lot of real-world, like, weapons and things. It just gets a bit into the sci-fi and fantastic when you get to the actual Metal Gear itself, which is a nuclear-armed walking tank, basically like a mecha from a Japanese anime, as called out in the series. Obviously, there are certain enemies who have been cybernetically enhanced, as well as some that are just downright supernatural. One was a vampire, except he wasn't.
Splinter Cell hits two things. Sam has his pistol, and he has a modified assault rifle that has an underbarrel attachment that allows you to shoot sticky cameras, okay. Which I can't remember if the first game, in later games, the sticky cameras are given a knockout gas connected to them.
Oh, that's fun.
And so, airfoil rings, which is just you can shoot a guy in the back of the head and he'll pause, so it forces a pause. And he'll kind of dizzy himself for 30 seconds. And sticky shockers, an instant knockout. So you can shoot the guy and knock him out. And it is a modified sniper rifle. They eventually, later in the franchise, in the third game, your gun, your pistol is given the ability to black out lights without directly shooting it.
Okay.
So it's given an EMP pulse.
That's pretty neat.
And after that, the later games, you're just given normal guns. like I said, they moved away from less stealth focus and more towards action stealth focus in some of the later games. And so, very famously for the second game, you're given a sniper shotgun.
Oh, neat. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And sorry about that, we're back.
Hey,
hey. Ho, ho. All right, and so I looked up during our little pause. The FN-57N, which is Sam's always silent pistol, it is one of the recognizable, and the other one is an FN-2000.
Gotcha. Those seem like they're things.
on top of that, his gear is, of course, the tri-goggles, or of course, because that is his signature by now.
That's what I always remember.
They are night vision, thermal. Later games, they get EMF. And they also get...
so you can see ghosts.
They get turned into sonar also, but...
So I know that primarily when you think of Solid Snake, you would think either the SOCOM or the Mark 22, which is the tranquilizer pistol.
Yeah.
I believe that one is... In later games, it's based on a, I think, completely made-up pistol. But yeah. I know that the first one is a Beretta M9, it looks like. Primarily known for his bandana, which sometimes can give you unlimited ammo if it's the right one. As well as the cigarettes that you need for seeing lasers. And...
cigars for passing time later, but
much later.
Yeah,
wonder what's in them. You gotta have your rations to restore your health, your cardboard box so people assume that you're just a cardboard box and nothing to worry about. Sometimes they don't fall for it.
Sometimes it's a sexy lady on the box.
Indeed. Did you know that you can actually alert guards if you touch the wrong part of one of the posters in Metal Gear Solid 2?
Did you? Can you?
If you do the knock on the chest area, it just makes a boing noise. But if you move and do the lower knock, it actually sets off the guard alert.
That's nice. I know that you can also make out with the poster.
I know that at a certain point, either it's in the photography mode where you upload things to Otacon, or I think if you're just in there and you've just been staring at the poster for a while, he'll just call you like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, what are you doing? And you, Snake, that's gross.
He'll also call you if there's a point where you have to escort his sister. And if you, like, crouch or do the prone thing where you're supposed to crawl and lay down on top of her, he'll be like, "What's going on?" So don't do that.
Now, that is something to get into real quick. Otacon being part of his support cast, correct?
Yes, that's basically his... intel on what's going on. He was the guy who made the original Metal Gear. Well, not the original, but the one in Metal Gear Solid. And apparently it runs in the family.
Yeah.
You do have a lot of support that you can call up if you're particularly stuck, or sometimes they'll just call you for sometimes no particular reason. A lot of the plot is further established through the codec conversations. The codec is a seemingly surgically implanted radio device that when they call you on it, it'll vibrate something in your inner ear, and that's how you hear it, but the guards don't necessarily.
Okay.
You spend a lot of time staring at that screen.
You definitely do. I guess who else would be? Meryl, being another one of his sportcast.
Yeah, Meryl in the first one, and she comes back in 4. I believe Meryl is a reference to a character in Police Knots as well, which was also a Hideo Kojima game. You get a lot of references to his earlier work throughout Metal Gear. The support unit you have in 4, which is actually my favorite of the franchise, is the Metal Gear Mark II, which is a little robot buddy, and that is the same thing that you have in the game Snatcher, which is just literally called Metal Gear, and it's just a little assistant that helps out Gillian Zed while he's investigating stuff, acts as like a flashlight and a proximity detector and all that kind of thing.
As I said earlier, Sam has Irving, and I believe the other famous one would also be Anna Grimdaughter.
Okay.
She is Otacon position, so she is tech.
Yeah.
And different things. He later gets an old war buddy of his, is in the other 3 games, and becomes a big part of that. The fourth one, sixth one, Blacklist, he ends up basically being in charge of a whole entire squad. So okay. He gets a protege. Anna Grimsdaughter is with him, though that gets a bit more complicated right around the fourth, fifth, and sixth game. The relationship between him and Anna gets more complicated because of reasons. I don't know if you want to get into plots later, but...
Because that will become a whole separate episode.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of scrape over plots, and
yeah.
Based on demand, we can get back into that later, but... So they seem about the same as far as level of tech beyond some aspects of Metal Gear having a more hard sci-fi element to it, as well as occasional just spooky nonsense.
Yeah.
For the Metal Gear franchise, I counted up 7.5 mainline games because Ground Zeroes counts, but it's only like a precursor to 5. And then 7 alternate universe ones, which includes Metal Gear Ghost Babel, released as Metal Gear Solid in the U.S. On Game Boy Color. It's actually pretty slick. The Metal Gear Acid series, Revengeance, which can either be canon as much as you want it to be or not.
Yeah.
It would line up for what happens later, but it's not a necessity, but it's very fun to play, so it's always recommended. And whatever that last thing was.
Yeah, the in-between game. So, Splinter Cell has 7 games in total. As I said, it had the tendency to be talked about in the first 3 trilogy, and yeah. The next 3 trilogy, and the 6th game. The in-between game is a game called Splinter Cell Essentials for the PSP. It is the only title that I have never played, on top of the fact that both, actually, I think all 3 of the original games, so Splinter Cell, Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow, and Chaos Theory, I do believe all 3 have ports for the Game Boy, and I think later, I think there's another PSP port in there.
I forgot that the PSP had Portable Ops as well, which was sort of the start of some of the later gameplay elements.
Yeah. But there are also multiple versions of Splinter Cell Double Agent because that was made for both the older console and the next generation of consoles. So that was the first one that came out on, I believe, the 360.
Gotcha, yeah. I remember playing Conviction on 360.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it came out for the 360, PS3. And the PC and Double Agent 2 came out on the Xbox, the PS2, the GameCube, and the Wii. And that was... So the gameplay differences are there, primarily being that the team that developed the other three games worked on the lower version, so they worked on the Xbox and PlayStation 2 and the Wii, and I listed all those games. One of the big things being there are in-between missions in this game.
Okay.
And so those in-between missions on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, you sneak around because you are in a militia. You're part of a militia in this game. As a double agent, which is hence why it's called double agent, you sneak around the militia base and you plant bugs and do certain things like that.
That's kind of fun.
And in the Xbox 360 version, it's harder because you're not allowed to do anything. You can't touch people. You can't knock people out. You have to hide. So it plays closer to, as you're saying.
Yeah.
The Metal Gear in the other version, you can knock people out. You straight up grab the head of security and interrogate him at one point in time. And it's just like, do y'all not think this is weird? Like, they make jokes about it that, oh, did you hear that? Apparently there's some guy going around knocking people out. Ha ha ha, that funny field happened to me. And it's like, it makes absolutely no sense. I know there are certain people that prefer the gameplay style there. And the endings of the game also differ, but as we said, plot things and discussions are a later podcast.
Yeah. I do know that there are some later things introduced from Metal Gear Peace Walker, and that bleeds over into Ground Zeroes and 5, which is the introduction of the Fulton system, which is based on that thing from The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Where you can attach it to basically a downed enemy or supplies or basically whatever you want to take back to your secret base, and it'll just inflate like a balloon, like a weather balloon, and just shoot it off into space, and it apparently lands there somehow. I think that's the most ridiculous thing that the franchise ever got, but it's also really fun to play with, so not hating on it.
Well, it does get one of the most... It turns into one of the most sci-fi part of the franchise, though, later.
Yeah, where you can use the wormhole upgrade on it, where it just warps things.
I mean, Fulton was a real thing the CIA tried to do. There is one test video out there of how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, and this was still in the older time period where it makes sense for them to have been testing it because Snake's origins is CIA. Well, that version of Snake anyway, Big Boss, so as he became.
Yeah, actually it's kind of the same thing, which is the CIA decided that they needed to go back to old school pre-war espionage, and so they created the Splinter Cell program for that exact reason.
Okay.
So that's another similarity between the two.
There's a lot of crossover, it seems.
Information warfare I don't think is really a thing in the Metal Gear Solid franchise, but...
I would argue that by 2, it's very much become that.
Okay.
Because of the... They use the word memes before memes were memes.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes about data and your lasting legacy and all that, and AI and what it could mean and all sorts of crazy...
Yeah, the first game in Splinter Cell is very heavily focused on information warfare. The second game moves a bit away from it, and the third game brings it back. But one of the more random things that connects the franchise? Product placement.
Yeah.
These are both games that have heavily placed product placement back when that wasn't really a thing in video games at all.
Yeah, I know for sure Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater had the Calorie Mate product placement in it, where you can use that to restore some of your health. It's apparently just a diet food in Japan, and I don't think it's supposed to taste very good, but it is still like a rite of passage for fans to try it. I have not yet, but I'd be open to it.
Then, with the Bag of Doritos DLC, or...?
I want to say that's probably DLC or a DLC code that unlocks something, but... Yeah, it's in there.
They later get bags of Doritos in there, and there are one or two other things. Now, the Splinter Cell franchise actually takes it a step further.
Okay.
So, I believe it's starting in Conviction where he's carrying a Nokia.
Okay.
He's straight up nothing else. He is straight up actually just has a Nokia phone when he pulls it out.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing being coming in Double Agent, the game after that one, they have... In the multiplayer, they actually had an ad server.
Yeah, that was popular at the time.
And so there was actually procedurally generated billboards for different movies and games. And after this, I may throw the disc in, because I think I have it down here, so it only took me 30 seconds. Because I think there's one last ad that was just stuck there, and I think it's the last ad, so I may throw that on and see what the ad is.
I know games like Burnout Paradise had that on their environmental billboards and stuff.
Yeah. And then I think you straight up climb on top of a Sears billboard at one point in time. And
Sears is doing great.
Yeah. So it's just sort of a weird thing that was in the games.
Yeah, I know that 5 has the actual Sony Walkman from that point in time.
Yeah.
Which is weird product placement, but it's still more or less product placement.
You have to steal songs.
Yep.
Which, it's funny, like, I would risk everything. All my stealth stats, everything, just to go and get a song.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have them.
I did the same thing in one of the other games, Assassin's Creed, where it's really one of the only fun parts of, I think, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, other than sailing, is chasing down sea shanties.
Yeah, I've flirted with buying that game several times, despite having never played an Assassin's Creed, just because I like pirates.
Yeah,
would it be worth it?
Skull and crossbones, but if that ever comes out, but you can't lead the ship either. But yeah, there are definitely a few added things like that that are similar, that are shared.
I know that in Metal Gear Solid 2, the magazines were placement. I don't remember who it was. Maybe FHM or Maxim or something.
Yeah.
The ones that you could throw at enemy guards and they would go check them out. Or you could just yeet an empty magazine at them.
Yeah. And again, I think to get into the biggest differences between the two being, Metal Gear Solid has always been under Kojima and has always been held very strictly to his own story.
Yeah.
Now it's a story that is unimaginably complicated at this point in time.
More than you could imagine.
Yes. And a bit more sci-fi and things like that, and a bit more spy thriller as Kojima throws in random things throughout the franchise in there.
He's very much a major movie fan, and you can tell.
Well, I mean, obviously the name of the character, Snake Plissken, but
yeah. Well, yeah, he goes by Snake, and in Metal Gear Solid 2, his fake code name that he gives to Raiden is Plissken.
Yeah. He does that. Again, Sam, a lot of Sam's personality was brought in through Michael Ironside, and he had a lot of say in what Sam did and how Sam talked. Michael Ironside, sadly, is not in the last game. He had cancer, unfortunately.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
Hope he's doing all right now.
He is doing all right now. And so he had to stop voice acting for a little bit. And they covered it up by saying that the last game had a lot of mocap in it.
Okay.
And so they switched it over to a different actor because of the mocap that's in the game.
Oh, so that shares the same thing with Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah. I was about to say, that is also another thing that we have in common, is the fact that both our actors are not in there for the last game.
Yeah, sadly.
We...
Contextually, once you know everything about it, it makes sense for him to sound different. But still, it would have been nice for David Hayter's voice to appear in the game, even as the... well, you know, big spoilers.
Yeah. It would have been nice for David Hayter to get a send-off.
Yeah.
Michael Ironside does get a send-off in Ghostland, or Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Does he fight the Predator?
No. He shows up for a mission. Apparently it's not a very good mission. You just sneak around a bunch of guards in the Splinter Cell suit.
Yeah. I think you told me about that, an episode or two prior.
Yeah. He meets with whoever the Wildlands person is, whoever controls her.
Mr. Wildlands?
Mrs. Wildlands.
Oh, Mrs. Wildlands.
They flirt for, 30 seconds, can I get a cup of coffee? She's like, maybe. Yeah, they acknowledge Snake. So I guess trying to bury the hatchet there, because he says in a sentence, yeah, I'm one of the last ones that does this. There used to be another guy. He wore a bandana, but he retired. He doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. To me, 4 is the last game. Because I don't have any real major problem with 5 other than, you know, it's not done. And they released it. But yeah. I just think 4 was the perfect send-off because it took care of both characters. And I don't feel like it was necessary beyond that to continue, other than Revengeance, which was fine. Since obviously that's a completely different character who can have a new story. But yeah, Solid Snake and Big Boss's send-off at the end of 4 was perfect. And that remains to be, it used to be that Metal Gear Solid was my favorite game of all time, but I would give it to 4 at this point because it's just, it's real good, especially if you've been in there for a long time. It really grabs hold of your feels and twists in several points. Would you like to sneak into the shill zone?
Sure.
We have here in the shill zone. So what we have is the same thing we've always had. Our Redbubble site still kicking. I need to actually work on larger designs in order to get us on TeePublic, so coming soon. And I do want to go ahead and just give a shout out to our patrons. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, William. Thank you, Ty, for continuing to support us and encouraging us to continue doing the show. Again, if you subscribe to Patreon at this point at any level, we'll go ahead and hook you up with a sticker. I'm thinking at some point soon I'm probably just going to make new things for Patreon because I like the stickers, but they could be cooler. So
yeah,
we'll see if we can get something else.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. And then upgrade, and of course, as we said before, free way to support us. I know people hate it. I'm sorry, but we really do like, share, and subscribe to us. Send us an email.
I don't know how many are listening on the Apple Podcasts app, but I hope it's a lot. So rate, review, and subscribe to us on there. Check out the Instagram and send us an email on, or send us a message on any of our known places where we can be found, and let us know that you're enjoying the show, or if you're not enjoying the show, what would you want to change about it? And we are crawling on our hands and knees out of the shill zone.
That we are. And so, I guess to get into the future of the franchise, do you think Metal Gear has a future?
No, I think it's over.
You think it's done?
I believe that Konami probably will continue to milk what's left of it for as long as it makes money. I don't know how well Survive did. I know that it was not warmly received.
From what I understand, good, fun gameplay, but yeah, yeah, just the fact that they put the Metal Gear name.
Yeah. It rubs people the wrong way. I kind of hope it's over just because I know that he wanted to get away from it for the longest time and move on to different creative things, which he's now doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Snake's at his last day and he needs to go home and rest. So
it is kind of the same thing for Sam, which is 3 years now, a game's been rumored in development. It accidentally popped up on Walmart.com once.
Yeah.
It's popped up once on accidentally on GameStop, set up a site for it.
Everybody pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
And received nothing.
It's gone through multiple different things of whether or not we're going to get an 8th game.
Yeah.
The 7th game in the main franchise. It seems likely in particular because, like I said, it feels weird for them just to bring Michael Ironside back for 30 seconds. He's like, to pay him to come back and do that feels really weird. We recently got them on backwards compatibility, so that's we can at least now play all games on the Xbox One modern console.
Yeah, I always feel like older games in a franchise are worth revisiting. Sometimes it's a disappointment, but sometimes you actually find gold. So I hope that they continue to push for backwards compatibility with systems. I know that, didn't it actually, that was one of the last batches of it for
Xbox? Yeah, it's one of the last batches because they're moving forward with the Xbox and Project Scarlet. So
yeah, I really, really, really want to upgrade, especially knowing that the next gen is on its way. But I just, the main way for me to do it right now would be to sell off the PS3, and I don't want to do that because there's stuff on it that I know isn't going to end up anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, two humans back on the Xbox, so.
Yeah, you never know. We could all be playing X-Men Destiny tomorrow.
You never know. I also learned something recently when I was watching through a documentary about the making of Splinter Cell.
Okay.
Like three or four popped up on YouTube. There's a full review of all the games. There's a Making of Splinter Cell documentary, like I said, that I watched.
Yeah.
But they popped up in the most recent Far Cry New Dawn.
Hmm. Okay.
Where you find the plane from Splinter Cell Blacklist, and it says nuclear threat imminent, and you can get Sam's outfit.
That's kind of cool.
It is, and I don't know if that's an Easter egg or if that will be like the canonical thing of Splinter Cell now, which is we're going to go into a nuclear war, because that's the point of Far Cry New Dawn.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to ask was, is the Splinter Cell franchise heavy with any sort of anti-nuclear message? Because that's basically all Metal Gear is.
Slightly. I mean, the first game, you're stopping a nuclear bomb.
Okay, so.
But as I said,
similarity with the first.
Similarity with the first is stopping a nuclear bomb, but information warfare, because it's Clancy, and Clancy really has a hard-on for information warfare, is the primary focus.
So that shares a lot of DNA with MGS2, then, so that checks out. Same development cycle times.
Yeah. The later games, again, move away from that for...
Do they ever go back to the past? For any reason?
I think to the Gulf War. Because Sam was a SEAL. I mean, I think you go back to him being a soldier for one game.
But all right.
Sam was a SEAL. He was recruited to be the first Splinter Cell. He does one mission, and then I think he retires after the first mission. And then he's drawn back in the first game. Which kind of leads to a thing, which is one of the main differences is you guys, like, age. Snake shown aging and having effects of aging, especially in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, because of his nanomachines and his bloodstream.
Yeah.
It was a side effect that started to kill him, because I think he was also infected with a virus that was supposed to wipe us all out.
Yeah.
But he got better.
It's a weird thing. But in up to Blacklist, as I just said, because it has a different voice actor, Sam sounds 10 years younger. Because he's not nearly as deep as Michael Ironside is.
Okay.
He's a bit monotone. He sounds 10 years younger. And that's sort of one of the issues is by that game, you know, Sam is probably pushing 50, 60 and still getting out there. So they gave him the protege. So maybe we'll see him as the protege and he'll take over Grimdaughter and be the voice in your ear in the next game. And that's kind of what I think a lot of people are hoping for.
Okay.
So we can get a continuation of the series. As I said, the most we have right now announced and coming out is a mobile RPG that he's featured in. So
so Conviction being the only thing of Splinter Cell I've ever played, and it's been a while. Am I mistaken in recalling that that game had a primary of a silenced shotgun?
Yes.
That was awesome.
That's what I was telling earlier. It has a silent sniper shotgun that you could get from pre-ordering from GameStop that, in all honesty, broke the game.
Yeah, it seemed pretty easy because I'm sure I did pre-order it. I don't even remember what got me there. I think it was just
probably had a shiny commercial. And yeah. I had a disposable cash at the time.
It's a fun game. The first game that's more action focused than anything, so you're encouraged more to slide around and shoot people. Yeah. I think you do have to basically outright kill in that game. There's no sneaking around and avoiding enemies, unlike the first three. But yeah.
I feel like I've for sure told you this story before, and I may have even already talked about it on the show, but my memory is trash, so I don't remember for sure. But I do have an extremely fond memory of Splinter Cell Conviction because of its co-op mode, which I played most of the way through with a friend of mine who is sadly no longer among the living, which sucks that we never got to finish it.
Yeah.
But I remember our signature would be, we would start off the night playing it, and we'd be really good. But by really good, I just mean we would just waste everybody, and then usually strategically place them around the room in like some orderly fashion, and then turn the lights off because we wanted to conserve energy because that was our signature. We were like the green mercenaries. And my biggest, like, most fun memory of it was, I don't remember how I even got into the predicament that I was in, but at some point we were, it was like probably 3 a.m. at this point, and I go, I'm kind of tired. He goes, dude, don't move. I go, okay, well, what's wrong? What's going on? Just trust me. Like, move your fingers, like your thumbs away from the control sticks and switch to thermal. And I go, okay. And I do, and my character is literally surrounded by like laser tripwires on all sides. And I'm like, how did I even get in here? I'm like, I don't know how to get out.
It's truth be told, probably best you never finish that co-op. That has a very disappointing ending. Oh, but no, it is a fun game.
I think I ultimately just walked through the lasers and we died.
Me and my friend went back, tried to play it, yeah, and just first level, I think first two guards, we try to shoot, everyone went out. The mark and execute system is introduced to Splinter Cell in that, though I believe the first game I was ever in, I actually played, was the Bourne series.
Oh, neat.
So there's a video game for the Bourne series that popped up, and I was a huge Jason Bourne fan, so I played that game. You got a laser pointer that has pointed out the date the game came out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I own all three books put together in one book. I really quickly learned it is a terrible way to read books because it is basically as thick as a Bible trying to read like one page of a Bible going, ah, no.
Are there any plans to make the series into a film as there tragically are for Metal Gear Solid?
It's been in development hell since the third game. Okay. And I can show you this. Chaos Theory, I went back and started to try to play it. I've lost all skill at that game, as I said earlier. But literally has the teaser for it.
Wow, okay.
And so that was the first thing. Now Tom Hardy, it's still on his IMDb page. I think that was announced like 5 years ago. They announced a Division film.
Yeah.
So maybe Hardy will pop out in the Division film and be like, sup, I'm Fisher in that. And maybe that will be the best we get. But I don't know.
So we'll get our extended Tom Clancy cinematic universe which, yeah, I guess technically already exists.
Jack Ryan is in, what, 4 movies now? So.
Yeah.
And I'm in the Amazon series.
Yeah, when's my Hawks movie?
Who knows? They're on Marvel, so they can do it. But yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be interesting because it's kind of like the Hitman games where...
Oh, yeah, they did make Hitman movies.
Yeah, they made 2. And it's just like the Hitman games is you walking around in levels, sneaking around in levels, assassinating people. Splinter Cell, like, how close can or how much fun can you have watching a guy walk around in the shadows for 15, 20 minutes at a time?
So I'll ask the burning question everybody's curious about. How does Splinter Cell compare to Siphon Filter?
I don't know.
Strangely, that was the right answer.
Okay.
Siphon Filter was I guess Sony America, 989 Studios did the original attempt to get some of that Metal Gear Solid money in the late 90s. I had the first Siphon Filter, and I think I played it first, honestly. And it was okay.
Okay.
But it's nowhere near as over-the-top fun as Metal Gear Solid ever was, so look back on it with a grain of salt. Although it did have a taser that you could use on people until it would actually set them on fire if you held it down long enough. So
nice.
It had that going for it, which was pretty nuts. I also remember its protagonist, Gabe Logan, ran like he was straddling a medicine ball. He had like the most bow-legged run animation I've ever seen a character have.
I know the biggest one they compare to is Thief.
Thief, that's old school.
Yeah, so Thief was the originator of the dark gameplay.
Yeah.
And so Metal Gear popularized that, and the big thing, of course, you always shoot out the light.
Yeah. And I wonder, I'm consulting something, just bear with me 2 seconds.
I know, yeah. It'll be interesting to see if we ever get another game. As I said, they've referenced it multiple time in multiple different games now. So it popped up. The goggles have popped up in Assassin's Creed. Their reference, as I said, in Wildlands earlier. A reference in Far Cry New Dawn. So they keep referencing it. They keep putting it out there. What we'll get, like, even if it is the Hardy movie, hopefully a Tom Hardy film would, like, force a reboot like it did with Prince of Persia. Where...
Yeah.
There was a game that was released for that film. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, I believe. Right now, we're just in limbo. We're going to see what happens, but...
Okay. So this is mildly fascinating. I was trying to think of what other stealth game there was at the time. And the answer is Tenchu Stealth Assassins, which is a very fun game for the moment in time it came out in. It came out in August 31st, 98-wise, February 26th in Japan, so...
Okay.
And Metal Gear Solid saw its release September 3rd, 98.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
And as I said, this was set for Metal Gear Solid 2 coming out swinging as a killer.
Yeah, so stealth just all of a sudden popped off and became a thing, which is weird to think about when so many games, even though the originals were doing it, were all based around running and gunning and action. It was fascinating to have a game where you're encouraged to not fight. But, of course, you can still do it. But
now it is semi-dead, but
yeah,
that's a podcast for another day.
What happened to stealth games?
The difference between a mechanic and a full game, but...
Yeah, there's nothing worse than a game that's not a stealth game forcing you to do stealth game things, and they didn't integrate it well.
Yeah.
So...
You have any closing thoughts for Metal Gear?
The same way I close every episode, seemingly. I love Metal Gear Solid. It's pretty much my favorite thing. But I'm sad that it's over, but at the same time relieved that it's over, because I will never have to buy one again.
Yeah.
And I feel like all those characters got proper closure before the final game, because everyone got closed up perfectly in 4. If you've never played 4, what are you doing with your life? Play 4.
And I guess to say the final piece on Splinter Cell is currently it's 3 dots messages typing, so... We're going to see if anything else ever comes out of that, but for now.
Let's hope.
Yep.